Yeah, no, he got admitted into our program here, so she was looking for the wrong person.
Okay. Thank you.
I thought that. Yeah, it happened here on the radio.
Okay, well, we're glad you found him.
Okay, here you go.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Hold one moment, sir, and we must be Mr. Neal. Let's see if he has any. Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir. With you.
Good afternoon.
Please state your name and ABC number for the record, sir.
Eric Dwayne Phillips, 160-6003.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your revocation hearing regarding the three allegations on your right. And based upon information that we have, sir, you were notified of this hearing back on May the 8th of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes, that was April. Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, it shows on here 5, which would be a Monday, May 8th, 2018. But on there, among other things, it stated that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see an attorney in the room this afternoon. May I assume that you're going to represent yourself, sir?
Yes, sir.
And although you cannot see us, as chairman of the board, I'm authorizing a two-member panel this afternoon, sir. Therefore, there will be two board members participating in the hearing this afternoon. And they are the Honorable Mr. Rui Kiwanis. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your panel chair. We're also having a room with us today, Mr. Turner. Mr. Turner is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer, sir. Mr. Phillips and Mr. Turner, will both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so affirm?
I do.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Phillips, we show that you have three allegations on your right, and I'm going to read each of them, and please tell me whether it's true or false. The first one reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol, ETG. On or about March 31, 2018, per the breathalyzer on report date, March 31st, 2018, at Phoenix Oasis. Sir, is that true or false?
That's true.
Thank you, sir. And next one is that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer, mailed by failing to provide access to his cell phone on April 2nd, 2018, and verbally directed on April 2nd, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That's false.
That is false, okay. And the next one reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 5, as demonstrated by your possession of spice, as synthetic for marijuana, on April 2nd, 2018, in Maricopa County, Arizona. Sir, is that true or false?
Yes, false.
Okay, sir, since you said number 2, allegation 2 and 3 false, we'll start with allegation number 2, and we'll get testimony on allegation number 2 coming from the Department of Corrections. Mr. Turner, sir, would you give us testimony first on allegation number 2?
Yes, sir. On 4-2-2018, offender Phillips Eric, 160-603, reported to the Northeast Parole Office and was staffed by P.S. Fleshman due to his discharge from Phoenix Oasis for using alcohol and possession of spice synthetic marijuana. During the staffing, the offender was verbally directed by Senior Parole Officer Maynard to provide the code to unlock his cell phone in order to be able to view for any criminal activity. The offender refused to provide the code to his cell phone, even after explaining that it is a condition of his supervision, and directed numerous times from Senior Parole Officer Maynard to provide the code. The offender was arrested in office and transported to AFPC Alhambra, Phoenix.
Okay, sir. Okay, Mr. Phillips, why is that false, sir?
I immediately gave him access. I told him when he got the phone, he said, "How do you get into it?" I said, "Swipe it." He didn't even have to ask two or three or four times. He just said, "How do you get into it?" I had it in my eyes, so I just swiped it. He swiped it. He started reading it off to me right there in front of my parole officer.
But it says, in the allegation, it says that the offender, which would be you, refused to provide the code to your cell phone. So Why would he say that, sir?
I'm not sure why he put that 32-file directives in there. I'm not sure. I didn't even think twice. As soon as he asked, I gave it to him.
You gave
him? I said, just like it, and he started reading the text messages off.
You gave him the phone?
Yeah. He started reading the text messages off.
The code to use the phone. You know, you have to have a code. Everybody have a code. You're supposed to have one. So did you give him the code, you know, whether it was the name or numbers or whatever, did you tell him, well, this is how I get into this phone, sir?
No, he just said, how do you get access to the phone? I said, just swipe it.
Okay, sir.
So all you have to do on my phone is just swipe it with the finger.
Okay, well, I'm going on to allegation number two, so just hold on, sir. Allegation number three. And Mr. Turner, would you be kind enough to provide testimony on allegation number three, sir?
Yes, sir. On 4-2-2018, the offender reported to the Northeast Parole Office located at 801 South 16th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034, as directed. CCO Murray went to the lobby to retrieve the offender and noticed the offender was outside by the picnic table. CCO Murray called for the offender to come inside so he could be staffed for being discharged from Phoenix Oasis Halfway House. The offender waited until CCO Murray to walk back inside the building and walk to the trash can located next to the picnic bench. CCO Murray watched the offender from the lobby window as he checked his pockets and pulled a container out of his right pocket with a red lid. The offender then sat the item down inside of the trash can and walked to the lobby. CCO Murray continued to watch the trash as the offender walked into the lobby to make sure no one else went to the trash can. CCO Murray asked CCO Idris to watch the offender inside the lobby so that CCO Murray and CCO Turner could check the trash can. CCO Murray and CCO Turner searched the trash can and found a clear container with a red top that contained an unknown substance. There were no other items in the trash can that matched the description of what CCO Murray observed the offender removed from his pocket and placed into the trash can, and no one else went placed anything in the trash can after the offender placed the container with the red lid. CCO Murray gave Senior Parole Officer Osborne the container to get the unknown item verified. The item in the container was later verified as spice synthetic marijuana by CIU Officer Lopez. The spice was turned over to CIU Lopez.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Turner. Okay, Mr. Phillips, we're back to you, sir. Why is allegation number three false, sir?
That stuff is not spice. They say it's spice, but right here on the directive and the lawful order of medication marijuana form that you get from when you sign your supervision of parole release, it says what contains spice in it. And do you have the pictures there, sir?
Yes, sir. We have the pictures here, sir.
Where it says warning, yes, no consumption. Okay, if you look at this product and see, it doesn't contain certain products in it, which is the products that contain spice in it. This right here is to keep people from doing drugs like heroin.
Okay, hold on one moment. Mr. Turner, do you have any comments that you could, testimony that you could give us based upon your experience now, sir?
With my experience, after reading this, I didn't realize that I was actually involved with this,
mm-hmm.
in watching the offender leave the trash can and going and picking that up. And I was also with Mr. Osborne when he took it to CIU, who identified it as spice. They did several searches on it to find and locate where it was sold, and that is what it was indicated is that it's spice.
Okay, thank you so very much. Okay, board member, is there any question that you have? Okay, there's no question. Therefore, in order to move this forward, I'm going to offer a motion at this point, and this will only deal with phase number one. And in phase number one, a motion will be based upon allegation number one, will be based upon the admission of Mr. Phillips as it relates to allegations two and three. That's going to be based upon information contained in warrant number 2018-00965, where there's information provided to the board by Mr. Turner. And my motion is going to be to find that Mr. Phillips did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have left into criminal ways or company. And that is my motion.
Second.
By the unanimous determination of this board, you have been found in violation of terms and conditions of your supervision. So now we're going to phase two, which is the most important phase in my opinion. And the reason this is so important is due to the fact that the board now will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue you on supervision, sir. So at this time, we're going to receive testimony, background information that is, coming from the Department of Corrections, coming from Mr. Turner, and following that, we will come back and talk to you and get further information, sir. Mr. Turner, sir, would you be kind enough to give us some background information on Mr. Phillips, sir?
Yes, sir. Mr. Phillips was released from ADC custody on 3-9-2018. He was arrested on 4-2-2018 by ADC for a tech warrant. No new charges. Returned to ADC custody on 4-2-2018 with a release date of 1-9-2020, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2006, armed robbery, 13 years. Prior conviction, 2001, armed robbery, 6 years. This is the second term in ADC custody. He has a CUIR score of 4-4. Mental health score is a 5. Substance abuse score is a 3. He is a suspected criminal street gang member of the African American Council. Prior term to supervision, 2005, TIS release. He was arrested on current conviction, reached the CSED in custody. His disciplinary is significant and lengthy with violence, forgery, theft, threatening, smuggling, contraband, assault with a weapon, assault on staff, possession, manufacturing of a weapon, arson, and drugs noted. There's no other arrest. He has a GB score of G5B6.
Okay. Thank you so very much, Mr. Turner. Okay, Mr. Phillips, we are coming back to you just to get some information and for you to tell the board anything that you would like to tell the board this afternoon. First of all, just some preliminary information. Just for the record, we show that when you were released from prison with an approved placement at Phoenix Oasis Halfway House, which is located at 1010 North 31st Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona. Then you were discharged from Oasis, and the offender did not provide any verifiable residential address to be investigated prior to his arrest. So aside from being at this Oasis, were what, you went homeless at that point, or what happened, sir?
Yeah, I was for like one day, and then I went to stay with a friend.
Okay, so you went to stay with a friend. Did you tell your CO3 that you were going to stay with that friend, or did you seek his approval to stay with that friend, sir?
I did call her, but it was only one day I stayed with him, because the day I called her to let her know I violated my conditions by drinking, that's the day I was arrested, so I only got to stay there with my friend, like, only one day.
Okay. Did you have any employment? Did you have a job while you were out, sir?
I had job interviews that same day. I had to go in and talk to Ms. Murray for the violation.
Job interviews that same day. With the information that I hear is correct, you have been out not quite a month, but you've been out about 3 weeks. So you just got an interview that same day that you got arrested, sir, or the day after you got arrested? Is that information that you provided to the board, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that you had been out, about 3 weeks. And I was saying that that's the first time that you were able to get an interview was the day that you got arrested, sir?
Oh, okay, yeah, for a job, yeah. And I did work through the temp services a few times.
Okay. And I showed that the task color was gray, and you were responsible for sample prior to your arrest, and it was negative, and then you were arrested prior to being referred to additional programming. Did you do any additional programming while you were out, sir, to assist you with whatever your situation might have been with the alcohol? Did you do any programming at all, sir?
I didn't. I really didn't realize I had this issue. I did quite a considerable amount of time. So now that I see I need some help, I'm going to try to get some help. She had recommended my other probation officer had recommended that I go see substance abuse classes and sign up for that.
Okay, sir. And 30 years, and I note that, you know, that you have, that this is not your first go around with the ADC, but 30 years, have you ever taken any programming at all to help you deal with alcohol and or drugs or any other things like that? Have you taken any programs whatsoever, any counseling or programs, sir?
No, sir, I haven't. I didn't really think I had an issue, but now it's only obvious I do, so I'm going to have to try to do that now.
Okay, let me just ask you this, sir, with all due respect, why would you use alcohol? Why would you drink alcohol so you knew you were on probation?
It was a week. It was a moment when I said a week, and the pressure's from outside. You know, that's from my side. That's not an excuse. It's just the pressure from outside. It was a little overwhelming for me, and I said a week on doing it.
What was the pressure you was under, sir? You've been through this before. Now, what was the pressures that you had? Somebody sick? Somebody dead? Or what was going on, sir?
No, just regular, typical pressures out in society.
Okay, so I'm going to get some additional testimony coming from Mr. Turner, and then I'll be back to you with other board members, sir. Mr. Turner, sir, anything that you can share with the board?
Yes, sir. For the record, so that the board knows, he was also on federal probation at the same time he was on parole. And on 4/2/18, CCO Murray spoke with the offender's federal probation officer, Terry Torres, at the following number, 602-725-3563, which is her cell phone. She informed Ms. Murray that the offender had called her and told her that he had drank beer, and since his discharge, he had been staying with a woman named Wida. She said that the offender had been failing to comply with her demands for federal probation. She stated that he has not gotten a medical evaluation and not signed up for substance abuse classes as she had directed.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. Okay, I want to see if my distinguished colleague might have any questions. My distinguished colleague does not have any questions for you at this time, sir. However, we're coming towards the end of your hearing. This is your hearing. I want to see if there's anything else you want to tell the board before the board goes into discussion and make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue your own supervision. Anything else you want to tell the board about repeating yourself, sir?
Yes.
We're listening. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I take full responsibility for drinking alcohol. And I shouldn't have done it. I'm in violation, so if you guys put me back to prison, I hope I can get some help for the alcohol. I do want a chance to get back out there and stay out in society and be a productive person in society. I want to go to school, and I'm already signing up for the survival classes too, so I can do education through the mail if you guys determine that I have to finish the rest of my time in here. It's a weakness, and I know it now. I'm 44 years old. I have three daughters who I haven't seen just a little. One of them is pregnant now. I'll be a granddad this year. I want to be there for him. I want to be there for her. She has a baby. Be a good grandfather for her and be a good member of society. Also, I want to go sign up and to those classes to get some help for this alcohol. Because it's obviously an issue. I brought up before, so it's obviously an issue. And, I think I had something else to say. Okay, yeah, the community supervision end date. They have it as January 9th, 2020. When the representatives of Department of Corrections said it was January 9th, 2020. That's way past my sentence term release date. My sentence expiration release date should be August 29th. 2018, and I was just wondering if you guys knew why it was set back so far.
No, sir, we do not know that. The only thing that we get is information provided to the board by the Department of Corrections. And in order for you to get that clarified, what we would suggest very strongly is that you will work with your CO3 and ask him to work with time comp so that if that information is incorrect, they will recalculate it and they will add those days back. But we are not in a position to do that here at the Board of Executive Clemency. We get our information from time comp as well. So you need to work with your CO3 and get that, and then hopefully it will work out in your favor, but we have no way of knowing that, sir.
Okay, okay. We'll just get in and Dr. Sachs,
yes, sir.
You guys will please give me another chance.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you so very much, sir. At this time, the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet as the board goes into discussion. Following this discussion, the board will make that decision whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue your supervision. We ask that you remain on the phone. Don't hang up because we operate under the open meeting law and we want you to hear everything that we say this afternoon. The board is now in discussion. I find that this is a very interesting individual, Mr. Phillips. As he stated, he's 44 years of age. I think this is, according to Mr. Turner, this is his second go-around with the Department of Corrections, which is very unfortunate, and armed robbery and all of those things. But as we look at it now, he admits that he made a mistake. He admits that it was alcohol. He disagrees with whether this was smuggled or spice was a drug or not, and we won't debate that. But based on the information that we have, it says that it was. But as I say, we're not going to debate that one. But I think in as much as we do know that he based on the conditions that he was on probation or supervision, he was not supposed to have one drop of alcohol, and much less any spice. Therefore, unfortunately, and I so regret that I have to say it, but I think that it would not be in the best interest of the citizens of Arizona to release him at this time. But I'm prepared to listen to other board members. Hearing nothing else, therefore I'm going to offer a motion. My motion is to be to find that Mr. Phillips, Edward Phillips, ADC number 160603, that based upon information contained in warrant number 2018W0965, as well as testimony coming from the Department of Corrections, as well as information coming from Mr. Phillips. And my motion is going to be based upon that to revoke his community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
The motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis. And so your community supervision has been revoked and you will be released according to our information. Please check the time comp. According to our information, you will be released on January 9, 2020. But we hope that time comp will come out in your favor, but we have no way of knowing whether that would be the case or not. Thank you so very much for your participation, and please give the phone back to the CO3, sir.
Okay.
Your hearing is over.
Hello?
Yes, thank you so very much. So I believe that's the only way.